Hi, I'm Burl Ives. All over America today, veterans of this nation's wars are engaged in peaceful pursuits. Most of them know firsthand that war is not the answer to the world's problems. Join them November 11 in prayers for peace. Join them in your community's Veterans Day program.
Hi, I'm Peter Duchin. Across this nation stretches a chain of 168 Veterans Administration hospitals. For some of our fighting men, a hospital stay is short. Others have occupied a hospital bed for years. Why not, on Veterans Day, November 11th, visit a veteran? He'll appreciate it. That's one way you can observe Veterans Day in your community.
This is Jimmy Wakely. Friends, how can we observe Veterans Day, November 11th? Well, we can stop and think, remember the greatness and unity which is America. We can remember the courage, sacrifice, and loyalty Americans showed the world, especially the more than 22 million war veterans alive today. And then we can reflect that this is the meaning of Veterans Day, a day dedicated to world peace.
Hello, friends. This is Mitch Miller. One of the most heartwarming stories today is the story of our disabled veterans. Large numbers of our former fighting men, felled by bullets or disease, are making their way in the world on the same terms as the able-bodied and with no favors asked. Take part in a Veterans Day observance in your community. Let's honor those who serve.
Hi, friends. I'm Dick Maltby. Drums will roll and bugles blare, and the tramp of marching feet will be heard across the land. But on Veterans Day, it will not be warlike. Quite the contrary. Veterans Day is a day dedicated to world peace. Citizens everywhere will join with our 22 million living veterans in rededicating themselves to preserve the blessings of peace for which America fought. Veterans Day is a time for patriotic pride. Take part in a Veterans Day observance in your community.
When there was every indication that we would finish that evening because the President had invited the members of Congress to the White House for what he termed a salute to Congress. Well, as you probably have read or have heard, we didn't finish consideration of this bill until 12:51 a.m. on Friday. In other words, we were in session for 14 hours. Just because the word was out that we must pass the legislation and if at all possible, present it to the First Lady that night at the White House as a gift from the Congress. Well, I think this is worth some discussion. As far as I'm concerned, Congress has an obligation provided in the Constitution to legislate. Not for any one person, not for any one president, not for any one party. But this was an example of Congress full steam ahead, do anything to get the bill to the White House that night before the president went to the hospital and so they could participate in this great victory. Well, there's some very serious defects in this legislation, and I know there are very many people, and I would agree, that we certainly need some control and some regulation of billboards. But this was not the real question in this bill, because many small proprietors and many small operators and many people who own their own businesses, maybe by themselves, maybe it's a family enterprise, maybe two or three people own the business, will find that when they start advertising their business under this Highway Beautification Act of 1965, that they've lost many of the rights they've had for years and years and years. So involved was a very, very serious question. And we frankly felt, many of us, that it should be postponed until we'd had more hearings and that there wasn't any rush to enact this legislation. But again, it proves, as I said in the first instance, that what the President wants from this Congress, the President gets. And maybe that's the way it should be because of the mandate, so-called mandate last November. but it seems to me, as a member of Congress and not speaking in any partisan sense, that every time Congress knuckles under to some request of the administration, we slip another notch in our struggle for being a co-equal body in this government of ours. As you know, it provides for a legislative and a judicial and an executive branch, and these are to be co-equal. But it occurs to me that unless Congress, whether it be a Republican Congress or a Democrat Congress or a split Congress, asserts itself and asserts its independence, that it will become, I don't care who may be the president, nothing but a rubber stamp Congress, merely sitting here serving a function of just passing on the bills proposed not by Congress, not by private individuals or private groups, and not the regular process, in other words, but by the President of the United States, whoever he may be and whatever party he may belong to. And as a member and as one who has spent some time studying the Constitution, I believe this is wrong, and I believe that Congress very soon must assert its independence or become completely dependent. Thank you for listening.